Hello and warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. I'm Sam Hart, back in the hosting chair as always to bring you the previews for the weekend action. Joining me on today's show, we have Robbie Wilder's Tom Park and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. We've got a weekend, obviously we've had York just go by, gents, but we've got Sandown, Beverly and Chester this weekend. Just want to quickly get a highlight from York for you. Who was the highlight from the festival last week? Robbie, I'll start with you. Who was the standout performance?
Cheers, mate. Yeah, City of Troy, for sure. I've been slagging him off a little bit this season and no longer. Those days are over. The clock never lies and he absolutely smashed that track record. I thought Calandigan going into the race was top class. I still have that impression and those two are miles clear of anything else. I thought it was probably, before, and I thought it was quite a deep race. Maybe it wasn't as such, but I think those two are two brilliant horses. And yeah, City of Troy for me, stole the show.
Absolutely. Tom, great to have you back on the show as always, but City of Troy is the obvious standout. But was there anything else that you took away from your horse that really stood out for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, just got touching back on City of Troy. I couldn't believe after that there were still some pundits who were like a little, not negative as such, but like questioning just, it's, I think Jason Weaver said he still had some questions to answer potentially. And I was thinking, I must have witnessed a different race because I was blown away. I thought it was probably the standout performance. I said to my wife after that, it probably since Frankel and See the Stars, it was up there with that level. I was very impressed. So I really hope he can go to the Breeders' Cup now, and that would be something else if he could go over to America and beat all of them. But yeah, apart from that, I thought Bradzell was brilliant in the Nunthorpe. Like that's some training performance to bring a horse back from what he went through last year. It sounds like it was pretty tough. And yeah, perfect prep, just clearly just thinking Nunthorpe. And yeah, it was a brilliant performance. Big track bias, wasn't there, in the end at York last week? It's usually one of the really fair tracks, but particularly on that sprint course, there was a big track bias. But yeah, I think Bradzell would have taken some beating wherever he was, to be honest. He was that speedy. I love a good old speedster in the Nunthorpe. It's sight to behold, isn't it? Charging up the nerves, Maya. But yeah, those two for me were, it was a brilliant week though. I really enjoyed York.
Yeah, Bradzell was superb, wasn't he, in the Nunthorpe. And obviously, yeah, City of Troy now. Tom just mentioned, Ed, that California's the next stop for the Breeders' Cup Classic. Currently 5-2 anti-post with Unibet. Has there actually been any support for this horse since this horse has been confirmed for the Breeders' Cup Classic? We had much going into this horse. I know we're still a few months out, but 5-2, quite short for a Breeders' Cup Classic. Consider this horse hasn't been on the dirt before.
Yeah, I mean, he's still... There are still lots of question marks about the question marks because plenty of people still are kind of thinking, is the 5-2 a good price or a bad price? I've even seen on the Racing Post site somebody telling me that 3-1 was a fantastic price. I think it's a horse that you're always going to have an opinion about, which is fantastic in racing, isn't it? Because that's what racing is all about. They get to the track and hopefully they prove it one way or the other. And he certainly proved it in the race at York. But then the next question mark comes up about, is he good enough to win over in America? So that's the next thing we're going to find out. I think the plaudits should go to Ryan more than the horse, because I think he rode them to sleep. It was a track record, but obviously it was very fast ground. And although the clock doesn't lie, you know, there are plenty of horses that are average that have the track records at courses up and down the country. But he did look special and he did it in a grade one and he did it in probably the best grade one of the year. So, you know, you can't fault him. And I think there'll be much more support for him as the race gets nearer and nearer. He is a tremendous horse, isn't he? But that horse in second, that's going to take some beating at the end of the season as well. That was a really good performance. Given where they came from. My other highlight was the Ebor itself. I mean, Magical Zoe. Yeah. I mean, just won it so easily. You rarely get a horse win an Ebor that easily. It just looks so simple. We're going to run on the Ebor. We're going to get a handicap mark. We're going to win it easily. We're going to back and we're going to win. So it'd be interesting to see what happens to Magical Zoe going forward as well, because, I mean, that was just a rout, wasn't it, in the end?
Absolutely, yeah. Plaudits to David Jennings, who's been banging on about Magical Zoe for the Ebor for months and months. But he'll be on the show next week, actually, and I'm sure he'll mention that at some stage during the show. Let's get in to the preview for the week, and then, gents, we start off at Sandown. Four races from them. The highlights are going to be the Atlantis Stakes and the Solario Stakes, but we kick off with a handicap over 7 furlongs. The 150, where Waiting All Night is currently the 4-1 favourite with Unibet. Star of Orion and Spanish Blaze 5-1. Lyndon B is 13-2. Feel the Need 7-1. Havana Blue 8-1. Looking at double figures bar these. Ed, I'll start with you. I'm sure during the preview you'll mention any offers and anything that we've got going on from Unibet, but anything in this race, and who do you like?
Yeah, it's the money back second or third, the offer we go with one race every weekend, and this one is the race. It's a competitive event, and yeah, a lot of the racing this weekend or Saturday I found quite difficult, and it's a meeting or a day that traditionally I do very badly at when I'm having a bet. So bear that in mind with my selections. But the first race in the 150, I was taken by Lyndon B. I've had horses with John Flint in the years gone by, and I was at Windsor when they pulled him out on Saturday, and I had a word with John about the horse, and they're just pulling their hair out because they really wanted to run him on Saturday at Windsor. They thought they had him cherry ripe, and they couldn't because of the ground. He's been pulled out a few times because of the ground, Lyndon B. He's a horse that John obviously inherited. He's done that a few times. He's gone out and bought some good horses, and it's one of his better horses. But he's been dropped to a handicap mark where he could win. And he was so upset about the run that he got in Newbury the time before. Not blaming anyone. I mean, it wasn't the jockey's fault if the gap just didn't come. And if you watch that race on the replay through the Racing Post site, you'll see how unlucky Lyndon B was that day. It put up £3 for coming second, but should have won. If it hadn't any breaks at any time, would have won. And it's still relatively well handicapped. He's won over a mile at Sandown, I think, off 82 and run off 83 and 84. He's off 80. He's in form. As long as the breaks come at Sandown, and sometimes you do need the breaks over 7 furlongs, I think he's got a cracking chance. He was 10-1 when I kind of analysed the race late last night, and he's now been backed into 13-2. I can see him going off favourite. So, yeah, Lyndon B is my selection.
Yeah, certainly well supported, Lyndon B. Robbie, to you now. Waiting All Night and Star of Orion. I was actually watching the racing live when these two finished 1-2 in a really competitive handicap at Newmarket. They've both gone up a few pounds. What do we make of them at the top of the market? Are they worth taking on?
Yeah, they got chances, certainly. I thought that at a bigger price, though, Feel the Need was quite interesting. This trainer, Michael Harrington, doesn't have many runners at Sandown. He's only had 3 all time, and he's won 2 of them and finished 3rd with the other. Interesting, he's coming down here. He's booked Ross O'Ryan. And this horse, he might be coming off a bit of a break, but he's gone well fresh in the past. And basically, the form of his last second to Tolstoy at York has worked out superbly. That horse is now rating £17 higher after winning a couple of really competitive handicaps since. And yeah, this horse has been rated higher in the past when he used to be a David O'Mara. He seems to be sort of working his way back to form, and I could see him going quite well at a bigger price.
There we go. Feel the Need then 7-1. Ross O'Ryan on board that one. Tom Park, you're to give the final selection in the 150.
Yeah, I might be going barking mad because I'm going to give the old boy accidental agent a chance here. it'd be a bit of a fairy tale result. He's 10. Obviously, won all sorts back in the day. His run last time, first run for a few hundred days, it's interesting they're keeping going with him as a 10-year-old as well. I thought he's a real eye-catcher. Typically slowly away, and you do take your chance a little bit with accidental agent that he actually leaves the stalls because he's had a habit of planting himself. It left him a little bit detached from the main group. And if you watch the replay back, at the furlong pole, he's probably 9 or 10 lengths behind the leader and the eventual winner, Lethal Levi. But he absolutely rattles home. It reminded me a little bit of his lock-in run many years ago, where he was kind of given a pretty cold ride out the back and finished strongly. His next start, he won the Queen Anne. He's a massive price. And as I said, I might be barking mad, but there was enough to suggest last time that he's not done with winning just yet. And the fact that they're persistent with him, he must be doing something at home to kind of be pleasing them, because they just wouldn't with a horse like that. And yeah, I mean, if it was a race from the furlong pole, he'd have won by about 5 lengths last time. So he's definitely still got some talent about him. He's off the mark of 91. He's about 20-1. I think he's definitely an each way player, but I might be mad.
Accidental agent, yeah, it'd be some story, wouldn't it, if accidental agent were to win this. Big price there from Tom Park, and remember, money back is second or third in the opener at Sandown. The 225 is the first of the group contests that we get stuck into at Sandown, which is the Atlanta Stakes. This is over a mile for the fillies and mares, where Tamfana is currently topping the market even money with Unibet. Doha is 15-2, Rollicker's 8-1, Bright Thunder 17-2, Doom is 9-1, 10-1 about Spiritual, 11-1 about Swazir, looking at 22-1 and bigger about the other two in here. Robbie, I'm going to come to you. Tamfana, last time we saw this horse at a mile was fourth in the 1,000 guineas this season. They then decided to step this horse up in trip in the Prix de Diane, and then went up again in trip for the Grand Prix de Paris, where I actually think this horse finished behind the 1-2 in the arc for this year, and Sosie and Delius, who were both in that race. But Tamfana, dropping back to a mile, do we think this is a good decision and our worthy favourite even money?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd be laying her at that price. They're obviously in changing their mind about what a perfect trip is. Menizia, thought she didn't stay in the Grand Prix de Paris. Probably right, to be fair. I prefer at 10, to be honest. I mean, I'm not sure she has got that place form in the 1,000 guineas. Ran really well there amid a draw bias as well. But yeah, I don't know. It's just the sort of profile I'll be taking on. You've got out and out sort of milers here, and it's pretty decent group three, I'd say. I mean, even Dover's come out, having finished fifth in the Nassau. Might have been slightly flattered that day. That was quite a slow run. But the one I'm going to chance at much bigger odds is Relika for Jane Chappell Higham. This horse was a couple of lengths behind Tamfana in the 1,000 guineas, but didn't really seem to handle the track. Got a bit unbalanced, pulled quite hard. She was essentially coming straight out of maiden win before that. Very inexperienced. Apart from El Malka, the most inexperienced horse running in that 1,000 guineas. And I thought that was a very fair effort. Wasn't herself next time at Shanty. Perhaps the heavy ground was to blame for that. I mean, the fact that she's been off 3 months since probably suggests that she wasn't right anyway. Chappell Higham can get him ready first time out. And I think she's still got quite a lot of long-term potential after only 4 runs. So I'd rather play Relika each way than the favourite.
Okay, Relika each way for Robbie Wilders. Tom Park, I need to give credit to Robbie, actually, because Robbie put Doha up as a best bet for Goodwood in a handicap and said, if this horse does go to the Nassau, we'll run a big race, a big price. Did run a big race at 28-1, finishing fifth in that race. And Doha, this impeccable breeding, sired by See the Stars, and obviously the dam being Trev, it is impeccable. And we've seen this horse improve and improve. Who is the main danger to Tamfana, or is there no danger and this horse will just go and win?
Yeah, I like Doha. Tamfana's a tricky one. If you are happy to bet it around even money, it's a decent opportunity for her. She's getting £6 from the older horses, and she's comfortably the best, highest rated anywhere in the field. And yeah, I wouldn't want to be putting her off anyone who wants to get involved at those odds. That said, you're getting three places here. And I think Doha's, she's properly talented when on song. And as you said, her pedigree's impeccable. She was really impressive winning the Sandringham, I thought. Didn't get the clearest of runs at Pontefract next time. And obviously, as we've alluded to, she wasn't beaten far from fifth in the Nassau. That form's been given a decent boost with See the Fire coming out and winning so impressive at York. She just didn't look the strongest stayer at 1 mile 2. So I do think coming back to a mile here, on this like stiffer mile, it should suit. Three places on offer. I think I'd rather be in the Doha camp at 15-2 each way than back in the even money jolly. But it's a fascinating race, and Team Doha for me.
Team Doha for Tom Park. And Ed, look, Tamfana's even money. The next best is Doha in the betting at 15-2, a big jump there. Do we think Tamfana could actually go off shorter come Saturday afternoon?
Well, as I've been listening to the experts, I've been thinking that very question. I'm more fascinated by the betting market than the actual race here, because I can see Tamfana going off shorter, but I can also see her lengthening. And I know that sounds a bit weird, but I'll explain why. Because the form, Tamfana's the best filly in the race by far, top rated. You know, the three races in Group Ones this season, the last three races put her miles ahead in just even that form. To the rest of the horses that she races against. The way that she ran in the Guineas, I think a fast run mile should be okay. Okay, she has developed and she does stay better now as well, or she does stay. But a fast run mile should be okay. The only concern I have is, well, there is a concern with the distance, obviously, but also the ground. If it got any quicker, I don't live far away from Sandown. It's been belting down with the sun all day today. If it keeps on the sunshine for the next few days, then it's going to be faster than good. And all her best races have been on, well, she's raced on primarily ground where there's a bit of juice in the ground, apart from the 1,000 Guineas when it was good. So over a mile, that might be, again, a concern. So where will the market go? Even today on Thursday, you can get 6-5 or 10-11. And that doesn't sound... that doesn't sound a big difference, but it is, you know, in terms of percentages, it is big. So I think the odds compilers don't properly know, or one or two want to be against her and one or two want to be with her. And we've had one person here saying they can understand why you'd back her, one that's saying that the price is too short, and I'm going to say the price is okay. So I'm going to go for Tamfana at 6-5, 5-4 evens at the moment. But I'll be really interested in the way this market goes. It is the first time she's taken on her olders as well, which is, you never know, do you? But she should be fine with that, given the ratings. So yeah, Tamfana is a thumbs up for me. When you just look at the race and you look at the ratings and you look at the gap between her and the rest, and you look at the she hasn't regressed. I can't see why she won't run a race. If this was, you know, if it was over 10 furlongs, then I'd be much more happy. But so I do worry about the mile, but I just think she's proven that she's top class, Group One over a mile. And this is group three. If it's a Group One, then yeah, but this is two grades lower than she's been competing at, and horses that she's been competing against. So yeah, Tamfana is a quite strong selection for me at the price. But I will be interested to see which way the market goes, because I can see that they might drift.
Ed, just on the betting, if because there's nine runners, does that affect Tamfana's price to a certain degree? Say you take out a couple of the big outsiders. Say you take out the bottom two in the market, the seven runners. Would she then be shorter, do you think, than usual? Or does that really make
sense? I think they'd all shorten a little bit, but I think the more shortening would be the second, third, fourth favourites in that in that regard. Yeah, I don't think you'd get much shorter on Tamfana. I think it'd be more the percentages on the second, third, and fourth horses.
Okay, fascinating discussion with regards to the favourite. They had Tamfana currently even money with Unibet, but like I said, this horse has been running the 1,000 Guineas Prix de Diane and the Grand Prix de Paris, all Group One events, and stepping into the Atlanta, which is a Group Three contest, so definitely there to show her class. The 3 o'clock then at Sandown is next, which is a handicap over a mile and a quarter. Seven runners go to post, which is Balmakara as the 15-8 favourite. Involvement is 3-1. Sean is 7-2. Dan Buster 7-1. Wonder Legend 10-1. Flying Frontier is 12-1. And Sierra Blanca is 28-1. Parky, I'll start with you in this. Who'd you like?
Yeah, tough little race this. I quite like Involvement though. Ran well in his first two handicaps without winning, but stepped up on that new market to win well in July, I thought. He's then fourth in a listed race at Deauville, but the winner of that race, Ombudsman, I think it's called, it looks a potential Group One call for the John Gosden Yard. And he wasn't beaten far by the other two. So that's pretty good form. Like, I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up like a good listed Group Three level, but like horse. So I think there's still some scope in his mark of 102, and he's clearly progressing. So yeah, he might just have a touch of class. So I'm going to go with Involvement here.
Okay, Involvement for Tom Park. How about for you, Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, call me mad, mate, but I call it Sierra Blanca, the outside of the field at 33. I'm a big fan and a pedigree first things first, by no name ever, but the Dam won the Oaks at Epsom, the Oaks at the Curragh, and the Yorkshire Oaks. This was a good horse for Aidan O'Brien as a two-year-old. He beat Spruill, who was that good horse who won the Derby trial at Leopardstown. Plenty of good forms of juvenile. He's only raced three times since, though. He's sort of been around the stables. He was with Richard Hannon, now he's with Martin Mead. But I don't know, I thought his sort of stable debut for Mead last time wasn't a bad effort at all in sixth place behind some decent handicappers. The time of that race was strong. It was the best of the four races on that card at Newmarket. And it was over seven furlongs, but he might be by no name ever, but he's got winning form over a mile on heavy ground at two. And I think he's probably worth a try, a longer trip. He's getting an extra three furlongs here. It looks significant enough that Martin Mead's booked Tom Marquand. I mean, there is a chance that he might need to come down a little bit more at the weights from a mark of 95. But I don't know. I think he might be worth chancing at the odds. I'll definitely put him in your tracker at least for sure. So at the prices, I'll take a chance on Sierra Blanca.
Yeah, plenty of pedigrees being mentioned on this week's show. Yeah, Sierra Blanca's Dam is Alex Androvi, who won the 2006 Oaks, Irish Oaks, and the Yorkshire Oaks, as Robbie mentioned. So, yeah, impeccable breeding there as well. Ed Nicholson, to you, please. I guess you're not going to put up Sierra Blanca.
No, although I was interested in the selection because I looked at Martin Mead and I thought he stopped training. But I've just looked on my database and he's had seven runners this year and one winner. So I didn't realise he'd come back. But so anyway, interesting selection, Sierra Blanca. I thought this race was too difficult. I really did. The favourite at the moment is Balmakara, who has been withdrawn three times this year on good to firm, good, and good to soft. So, and he's been withdrawn because of the going. So I'm not too sure what they're playing at there. But when you do look at the form, he does win on soft. And that would be a worry. I may have to get my weather maps out because a few horses that are down to run well are horses that like kind of soft going, or some of them are good going on Saturday. So I'm going to have a little look at the weather. I don't know if anyone knows any more than I do at the moment, but the going is good at the moment. But the favourite would seem to need soft by the way that he's running races and the way that he's been taken out of other races. I was at Windsor on Saturday and Jamie Osborne was there and they had Sean entered and we had a massive downpour. I mean, it was biblical for about half an hour and it changed the going in half an hour. And Jamie was on the phone and literally asking what they should do with Sean, and they took Sean out because of the going. The races did look like they were soft going races afterwards. If you do look at them, they all went to the far side, and which they always do when it's soft going. And it did look like it was softer than the going suggested it was going to be at the beginning of the day. So they've decided to come to Sandown here with Sean. And that was going to be my selection, just based on the fact that he's run some good races. Beginning of the season, he was over in Dubai. He ran in black type events. He seems to be in the same sort of form when he's come back to turf. He's got 108 rating, which does seem to be a bit high. Which is my worry, but he's been nibbled at in the betting as well from sixes into fives. And I just thought he was a type of horse that probably is better than his form figures suggest. He's in the Cambridgeshire, I see, at 33-1 at the moment, and that might be the plan. He came back in the summer, so that might be the plan for him this year, then maybe go back to Dubai in January. But yeah, so Sean ran about 5-1, but it really is a difficult race, I thought.
It really is, yeah. But Sean, potentially a tentative selection there from Ed Nicholson at 5-1. The final race we look at from Sandown is a two-year-old contest. It's the 3:35, the Solario Stakes, over seven furlongs. And Field of Gold's topping the market at the moment, 7-4 favourite for the Gosdens. Royal Playwrights, 5-2. Matari Bay is 9-2. Tiger Mask, 13-2. Hot Shot is 12-1. And Outlaw's Grey, 16-1. Bigger about the other two. Who should I start with here? Ed, I'll start with you here. Field of Gold, third on debut, was eye-catching that day. Then came out of Newmarket and won very impressively. We've also got Royal Playwright in here, who was a good winner at Salisbury, despite being very keen, and including the likes of Rafe Beckett's runner, who's Rafe Beckett's in fine form at the moment. Matari Bay, who's also had one run and one win. Where do we look in this? Are we with the favourite or against?
Well, I think you look at the top two in the market. I think I'd be very surprised if Field of Gold or Royal Playwright doesn't win one of them. It's a race, the Solario Stakes, which doesn't often get talked about. It's a Group 3 at this time of year in between major summer meetings, but it's a good race. It goes back to 1947. And you've got, I mean, I remember Oso Sharp winning it, Al Haraf, Ravens Pass, Kingman won it, Massar won it, Too Darn Hot won it, and horses that have gone on to be good horses have won it as well, that got beaten, like Cameco was beaten in this as well. So, you know, it is, I think Ravens Pass actually got beaten, did he? Maybe he won. But there are good horses that compete this race, and they do go on to contest the kind of Group 1s at the end of the season. And both Field of Gold and Royal Playwright are in those Group 1s, and they both kind of fit the mould for this particular race. First of all, Andrew Balding. I've got an angle with Andrew Balding. I'm not the only person that's got it, but if he runs a horse in a maiden or a novice as a two-year-old, then they go straight into black type, or certainly into Group 3. I mean, that's normally... Well, first of all, if they win first time out, they're above average. And if they do that, they actually don't have that bad a record. Now, in the last 20-odd years, he's had that situation happen 10 times with a horse winning a maiden or a group going into... Sorry, a maiden or a novice going into a group race. And of those 10, one of one. But he's had horses like Alcohol Free and Cameco that have, you know, that got on to be Grade 1 performers. So the point being, if he does that, they might not win their race, but they're obviously very good horses. And Royal Playwright, I mean, looked like a horse that was definitely worth following when he won at Salisbury recently. I mean, that was a very good performance. So you can understand why there's been a bit of talk about Royal Playwright, and there's a bit of money behind him as well. But Field of Gold is my selection, based upon the fact that this is a tried and tested route for the Gosdens with their horses that they want to kind of compete in the better races towards the back end of the season. If my records are correct, they've done it in the last 20 years. They've done a route where they run in the Solario Stakes and then go on to bigger races 10 times, and they've had 6 winners. If you take out the kind of horses that are bigger prices, they've even got a better percentage chance. And Field of Gold looks like a horse that fits the mould. I mean, the way he won at Newmarket, being a lot of horses easily, wasn't touched with the persuader at all that day. Obviously put him down as an above average horse. And I've just got a feeling that he's already got entries in the Dewhurst, of which he's 33s, which is a race that horses win this or place in this and then go on and run really well. Al Haraf won it. Ravens Pass did win this race and then came second in the Dewhurst. And Too Darn Hot for the Gosdens did the same thing. So the Gosdens do like to win this race with horses that may be Group 1 performers for the end of their two-year-old career. So I like the way he did it at Newmarket. I like the fact that he's entered in all the big races. I love the fact that the Gosdens pinpoint this race for future stars. And I'm going to go for Field of Gold. One slight reserve is the last horse that did win it for Gosdens this race ended up... running in a novice hurdle at Worcester last month called Reach for the Moon. So they don't always end up being complete stars, but most of them do. He's got a very good record in this race. So Field of Gold would be my selection.
Okay, yeah, Field of Gold, the grey, Fred Nicholson. Robbie Wilders, Field of Gold, Royal Playwright, or something else?
Something else, please, mate. Hot shot for the banging form, Richard Hughes. He's got a really good record when Rosser rides for him, 8 from 19 when they team up, but forget all that. This horse has definitely been priced up more on his connections rather than his actual form. He was a good third on his debut at Kempton behind a horse called Wimbledon Hawkeye, who split the line in winter and ruling court in the Acom. I think everyone's probably in agreement that the line in winter's the best juvenile we've seen this season. And basically, Richard Hughes is on record as saying that he sort of regretted running Hotshot in that race. It was a little bit too early in his development. He came back from sort of just over 2 months off at Goodwood, dead heated in a decent maiden there. But the horse he beat, Consolidation, was one place ahead of Field of Gold, when they met on Field of Glory's debut. Field of Gold, that's the fella's name. And I thought Hotshot did really well to beat this horse, Consolidation. The first two basically got first run on him. I think he'd have won much easier if Ross Orion went a bit earlier at Goodwood. I think there's a really nice horse in there, and he's about 16-1. So I'm always for taking on short price juveniles because there isn't much form to go off, and this horse and top two a bit shorter, I think.
Yeah, hot shot. Yeah, Russell Ryan and Richard Hughes teaming up on this one. Yeah, a decent price on Robbie Wilders. And Tom Partyard finishes off on the Sandown card.
Yeah, good race this. Field of Gold, absolutely can see the angle. Obviously, Gosden's target this race. And when you think of this, when I think of the Solaro, I think of Kingman. He was kind of my era. And the Gosden's seem to win this more than they don't. He was really professional at Newmarket. I just was so impressed with Royal Playwright for the opposite reasons of Field of Goal. Field of Goal looked a real pro at Newmarket. Royal Playwright looked anything but when winning last time. He was green as anything. He even jumped the path at the halfway stage like he was at Constitution Hill. I mean, he'll make some hurdler over 6 furlongs. He pulled, he jumped the path, he took a bit of organising, but once he got clear and was asked the question, really got his head down, he really pulled away from them, and then he added some hanging in. He hung right at the end just to kind of add to his day at school. But I'm hoping that he's learned a lot from it. Me and Ed were just discussing before recording, and they're not guaranteed to overcome greeners just for a run. But if he does, he could be a serious weapon, I think. Like, the form's not too shabby either. I mean, the horse that he's beaten 3 lengths, Original Outlaw, was just collared late in a nursery at Glorious Goodwood. So the form's pretty strong. I thought he looked really raw, but so much talent there. So I'm really excited for Royal Playwright. He's one of the 2-year-olds. He's certainly in the top five that I've been looking forward to kind of seeing next, so I'm hoping it's a winning one here because I think he's very exciting.
Okay, yeah, Royal Playwright then, yeah, decent price with Unibet looking currently around the, I think it's around the 5-2, 3-1 mark currently. So the one to take Field of Gold on with for Tom Parr, but differing opinions in the Solaro Stakes this week. Coming up shortly after this advert, we're going to be covering Beverly. We've got the Beverly Bullet there, and as well as Chester, where we have the Chester Stakes. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You've got Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Tom Park and Ed Nicholson spinning you through the weekend action. We're off to Beverley now, a rare trip to Beverley on the Racing Postcast, but two races from there, and the first of which is the 130, the Silver Cup Handicap, over 1.5 miles. It's a Class 2 event, which sees Quietness as the 5-4 favourite at the time of recording with Unibet. Walter Hartwright is 5-2, Drawn to Dream is 6-1, Loyal Touch is 7-1, and Thundering is 9-1. Robbie, a horse at the top of the betting, and Mark Stragoning's Quietness, who I believe has been placed in every start bar one, where this horse finished 3rd of 6. It was unlucky that day as well. So ever so consistent, does know how to win, especially this season, 4 from 5 and finishing 2nd on that other start. 5-4, is this going to be too short or probably just going to go on and win this?
Yeah, too short for me, mate. I mean, you can't knock a horse who just keeps winning, keeps improving with every start, but I don't know. I thought Quietness was a little bit flattered last time at first. There went absolutely no pace there. Could just completely controlled a very steadily run race. I think he's still got it to prove that he stays over 1.4 miles on a stiff track like Beverly. I know he's won at Haydock over 1.5 miles, but that's a more of a flat track. And I don't think he's going to get his own way out in front. I think he's going to get pestered for the lead by Drawn to Dream. And to quote the great Graham Rodway, I think she will break him. Drawn to Dream. Really interesting horse. Got German sort of group form last season. And she made an eye-catching debut for Jamie Osborne in the Copper Horse Handicap off joint top weight with Alcasib. Finished 6th there. She's not been quite the same form since. She was 6th of 9, sorry, in the Queen Alexandra, but that only came 4 days later. She's entitled to have been slightly fatigued from the Copper Horse run. And then she just basically didn't really run a race at Newmarket last time. Not so that's necessarily her track. I think there is definitely going to be a decent pot in her. She has got Cesarewic entry. I'm wondering if maybe they're working back towards that, as she would get a penalty if she wins there. But yeah, I don't know. I think if this turns into a real test, she's got plenty of stamina. And I just don't know, quietness, a son of bated breath, I think you might get sort of exposed if it does turn into that sort of race.
Okay, yeah. Drawn to dream then. Yeah, one to take quietness on with. Ed Nicholson, to you, what do you make of this race?
Well, once again, I find it a fascinating race to analyse. Do you go for the horses that are improving, that are keeping being put up and keep on winning, or do you go for the horses that have dropped down to pass their winning marks, who are certainly regressing, but have shown that they can win up to this level in years gone by? And also, then you look at how the race will be run. So when I first looked at the race, I thought, well, you can only tip Quietness or Walter Hartwright. Quietness has won 4 out of 7 on turf. Walter Hartwright's won 4 out of 9. They've both gone up from 60s to 80 or 78 and 80. They've won and they're still progressing. But they've got to stop soon. And then I looked at the race that's and how it's going to be run. And like Robbie, I thought there could be a bit of pace here. I think they're not, Quietness isn't going to get it nice and quiet up front. Drawn to Deep Dream does like to go on, doesn't always do so without restraint, i.e. pulls. And Walter Hartwright is always there or thereabouts. So it could be a fast run race. And I'm going to take a chance with Thundering, who's only won 1 out of 17, but has won off marks, well, been running off marks much higher than this, one off a mark of 82 as well. But I just thought maybe Thundering was worth a chance, given that Hollydoor will be the one that's holding this one up off of what I think will be a fast pace. And might just manage to come through and grab it at the end. Been running at big prices, been 25, 28, 18, 16. Has been dropping down the handicap as well. So, yeah, I just thought that maybe it's worth taking a chance the way the race might be run, and Thundering's kind of near double figure odds.
Yeah, Thundering, yeah, the outside of the lot with Unibet. Other bookmakers have Law Touch as their outsider. Some have Drawn to Dream. So different opinions from different bookies. But Thundering is the outside of the lot with Unibet, 9-1. Tom Park, you were nodding away there. Is that an agreed selection?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a funny race because the front two have done all the winning. But as Ed's pointed to, the handicapper, they're going to catch up with them eventually. Quietness, as Robbie said, she got a really easy time of things at front at first last time. And like, it's impressive to the eye and as to the handicapper's eye as well. But getting £6 for that, like, it was hers to lose the way the race was run. I think that's enough to kind of look elsewhere. Walter Hartwright, done plenty of winning himself. He's up £10. The winner of last time was up, the race last time was up £10 since. So I think he's got the best form of the race. Out of the front two, I would definitely be in his camp. But like, his price, it doesn't appeal. And as Ed's pointing to, I think there'll be a burn up of pace here. And that is really going to suit Thundering, who ran much better than his finishing position suggested at Newcastle last time. He's actually last off the bridle. Now, unfortunately, he's £5 out of the handicap, which makes life difficult for him, but that is factored into his price. And he was running decent races off this kind of mark last year. So he's by no means out of it on ability. And just the way that he travelled last time, that was much his best run for quite some time. And he could just be finding his form again. And if he is, even off the £5 high mark, he's going to be bang there. And I think he'll get the race to suit as well. So, yeah, I think Thundering's has a decent chance here at a big price.
There you go. Yeah, 9-1, like I say, in this 5-runner event. So a decent price there in the first handicap we cover from Beverly. We go on now to a race that's definitely going to be quick. It's the Beverly Bullet Sprint Stakes, a listed contest over 5 furlongs, where Comanche Falls is the 7-2 favourite, Clarendon House and Democracy Dilemma 4-1, Blue Storms 11-2, Staincliff 6-1, Emirati Anna 7s, and Al Bashir is 8-1. You said at the top of the show, Tom Part, that you love these speedsters. Well, who do you like in this speedster event?
Yeah, love good old sprinters. This is a really good race, isn't it? I'll mention a few, and then I will go on to my selection. The way that Blue Storm's progressed this year, he's got plenty to find on figures, but I do like the three-year-old who's kind of like been running really well in like top handicaps, and obviously he won the Epsom Dash and then was second in a Royal Ascot Handicap. He might be rated 99, but I think you mark him up a little bit on that. Interestingly, when he was with James Tate gave a really big write-up for this horse in the weekend of last year, so it's one that's been in my tracker. And yeah, I mean, since he switched yards, he's just been a revelation, really. So I do think he will run a big race. If it was a handicap, I'd be very keen. But it's Clarendon House, very difficult to predict. Obviously, he's the kind of highest rated in the field. He's just ran, well, not ran is the problem. He hangs in the stalls and ruins every chance, and he's done it on a few occasions this year. So in a difficult race, he's not one that I'd want to consider, given that you've got that worry on top of the race being competitive. But yeah, the selection for me is Comanche Falls. Now, there are a couple of little niggling doubts, but he is proper classy on his day, isn't he, Comanche Falls? I just remember last year when he was running in these kind of listed and group threes, and he's just mopping them up. And if he's coming back to that kind of form, he's going to be really tough to beat. He ran a stormer at York last week. I actually backed him, and particularly when the draw bias was becoming apparent, I really fancied him. And he ran a really good race to finish third, beaten potentially by a horse who had a stone in hand in Elmanjed. There was a big bias that day, though, so I think every runner in the top six was all drawn single figures. So effectively, it might have been a 20-odd runner handicap, but he's probably only racing seven or eight of them. That said, it was a big performance to run in a competitive handicap off 107. And the good thing is a lot of the fancied horses were drawn low. So I think the form is strong enough to trust. As I said, he was running right up to his rating of last year of 113. And if his York run suggests he's not too far off that level, if he comes on a little bit for that, he's undoubted the class in the race. So Comanche Falls for me, and I might even have a go on the forecast with Blue Storm. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Comanche Falls.
Okay, Comanche Falls, the one to beat for Tom Park. Robbie Wilder, 7-2 the favourite, 8-1 the outsider of this seven. It's as competitive as ever, and you could make a case easily for many of these. Who are you going to make a case for?
Oh, yes. I'm going to make my case for Comanche Falls, much like Parky. He's quite, surprisingly, for a horse who's run 41 times, it's the first time he's ever run at Beverley. I see that holding no real worries because he's quite a versatile regarding five and six. I mean, his best before the York run last season that Parky pointed out was an excellent performance. His best start this season was over five at Haydock behind Believing, who's obviously come out and run a series of good races in group ones. I mean, there's a bit of a pace collapse. If they go hard, which I think they will with horses like Democracy Dilemma in the lineup, then I can't see many really staying on better than Comanche Falls is. I mean, he was 6 lengths scared of the third and the Achilles stakes, but I'm believing the last time he ran over five when there's a bit of a pace collapse. And I just think now Michael Dodds has got him back in form. He should go very close here, and the race should be run to suit. He's drawn right next door. Democracy Dilemma should get a lovely toe in. Yeah, I think there's plenty to like.
Okay, two votes for Comanche Falls then. Ed Nicholson, could this be this week's postcast hat trick horse?
No, I'm going to oppose Comanche Falls, although he's got a good chance at anything. It's a really competitive race, as we've said. Any of the horses could win, but my heart and my head is going to go with Clarendon House. I understand what Tom's saying. He's probably right. It's not a horse you want to take shortish odds about. He's the horse you want to take big odds about. And that's exactly what I did in a Nunthorpe. I backed him at 66 to win the Nunthorpe and got about 0.2 of a second enjoyment from it when he turned right and ducks away and came 15 for 15. So I probably won't be backing him at 4-1, but he has got form at Beverley. He's come second and won.
And I noticed, I mean, he won at Bath as well. I was there that day, and that's got a bit of an uphill finish. So, you know, we do think of him a very, very fast horse that does well on flat tracks, but he's okay when he reaches the final half a furlong and it goes uphill. So I think Clarendon House is the best horse in the race. I think he's probably thinking about the game now. He did a similar thing at Epsom, didn't he? Or certainly came last at Epsom.
Yeah.
So you do worry about him. He's the kind of horse that I think will pop up in the next couple of years before he retires at a big price in a group race when nobody thinks he can possibly win, but he gets out and he stays there. So he's probably the wrong price to put up as a selection, but I've always loved this horse. I'll go on about him every time he runs. So I'm going to go with Clarendon House, but I won't be backing him at 4-1. I think it's such a competitive race. And I mean, we do say this often on the podcast, but any of these horses could win. They really could.
Yeah, this is definitely a race like that. And like I said, there's not much in the betting between the lot of them, is there? So yeah, two votes for Comanche Falls and one vote for Clarendon House in the Beverly Bullet. We've got two races from Chester to cover, gents. The first, which is a handicap at 240 there over 7.5 furlongs, where we see a real open field with Percy's Ladders, the 5-1 favourite here. Carry the One is 11-2. Under Siege is 6-1. Yennefer, 8-1. Revich is 10-1. Spangled Mac is 11-1. Divine Libra, 12-1. Physique is 12-1. Looking at bigger about some of the rest in this field. Robbie, I quite like Torsen here. I quite like the favourite, actually, Percy's Lad, who won back over 7.5 furlongs at Chester during the May meeting here under Richard Kingscote. There's two in here that actually faced off last time out at Chester over 7, which is Yennefer, who beat Percy's Lad last time out. I think now Percy's Lad, with this draw, with the quicker ground, it was good to soft last time at Chester, but quicker ground like it was back in May. Richard Kingscote's back on board. I've got a feeling out of that draw in one, this also go very well. How did you look at this?
Yeah, I see the case, mate. I found this one the hardest out of every race today, to be honest. I'd have been really interested in Warrior Brave if he got a better draw, but he's out in 13. He almost made all to beat Power Under Me in Ireland last time. Power Under Me is a proper group horse, and this horse run off 99, but he's been done no favours in still 13. Thought Gorak could go well. He's quite well treated on his form. Short head defeat, the Carry the One a few starts back, but I ultimately don't want to go near it. So, yeah, I'll pop that one out.
I thought this was the kind of race you might be leaving alone, to be totally honest, this week, Robbie. Ed, what have we got in here? Extra places, any offers?
Yeah, there's an extra place here, and I didn't say what we're doing at Beverly. In the Beverly Bullet, we're actually doing the best industry best price. So if, from 9 o'clock on Saturday, if you fancy any horse, back it with Unibet, because whatever the industry price is, will be better from 9 a.m. on the Beverly Bullet, which is just to confirm the 205 at Beverly. This race is extra place, and you can see why we're doing it, because as Robbie has said, and I concur, it's an impossible race. I'll tell you what I was interested in taking on, and that means he'll probably win, is Under Siege, who's one of the favourites. Lightly raced, only had 4 runs, only a 3-year-old. It's in the Cambridgeshire I saw, which is 40-1 for. And Andrew Boarding does like taking horses to Chester. I spoke to David Probert about it because he's got a good record at Chester. And he says that they believe that taking, and this fits the bill with this horse entirely. They say by taking kind of inexperienced green horses that need to get to learn quickly on the job, Chester's one of the best courses to do it at, because they've got to be, it's obvious, isn't it? They're going around a bend all the time. They've got to be thinking, they've got to be balanced, and they normally go quite quick. So David Probert told me they tend to come back a much, much wiser after they've run at Chester than before. And given that they've got these lofty ambitions to run in the Cambridgeshire, you can see why they probably want to run at a venue like Chester in a competitive Class 2 handicap. But there's a lot of negatives for me with this horse. So, you know, I think his handicap mark's been based around his run with economics. I think that it doesn't look the most straightforward of horse. So that's the one that I wouldn't be backing. So that's probably going to win. The one I'm going to back is Carry the One. Michael Bell, James Doyle taking the ride, which I like. He won at Chepstow. I spoke to his owner after the race, and he was adamant that, you know, we always talk about the Carry the One in the podcast because he's always well back to win these big handicaps, and he has been all season. Then he won what was a relatively smaller race at the Racing League, but still good prize money at Chepstow. And the owner just told me he just needs a really fast run race. He has to have fast run race. The ground
is okay for him, whatever the ground is, minus extremes. And I think he'll get a very good run here. He's drawn Stall 5, which I think will help. Doesn't matter so much over 7.5. James Thorne, obviously a completely fantastic jockey. I just thought that he's maybe still just capable of winning off this mark of 104. So carry the one for me. I didn't think he ran too badly last time at Ascot, maybe over a little bit too far the distance. So this 7.5, a fast track, bound to be a fast pace. As long as the gaps come, if there's one man that can get him through to the finishing line first, it's James Doyle.
Okay, carry the one for Ed Nixon. You're to finish us off in this handicap, Tom Park. Who did you like?
Yeah, carry the one was actually last off my shortlist, so he's the one I fear the most. But yeah, I too like Percy's lad. He did have stall one last time when he was beaten here. But if you give a front runner enough chances from the plum draw at Chester, you would think by the law of averages, they're going to have a better chance of getting the job done. And he gets another go from stall one. And I just think that it makes him the one to beat in a very competitive race, basically. I wouldn't be going mad in this race. As we've all said, it's very tough. But yeah, that he's got form at Chester, and I think they went a bit too quick last time and everything came from the back and just swamped them later on. Hopefully they won't go as quick, although Ed will probably be hoping they do go lightning quick. Carry the one certainly will want a stronger pace. Not sure Carry the one got the best rides last time in the Sugar Cup either, but he certainly ran well. Yeah, I'll go for Percy's lad. Bit sceptical, but I just like draw one in Chester, front runner, get out, and hopefully can control the race. But we will see.
Absolutely. I think everything's in this horse's favour, and I'm looking forward to this horse running on Saturday. The 3:15 is the final race we look at. Briefly dense the Chester Stakes, a listed contest just over a mile and three quarters here. Kai's Chorister is the 2-1 favourite for the Manusia team. Absurd. Willie Mullins with a horse near at 7-2. Real Dream 5-1 along with Samoy. Fairbanks is 10-1. Rajinsky's 14-1, 18-1. And bigger the rest. Robbie, because you didn't have a selection in the last race, I am going to come to you as you slowly to fall off my screen there. You're now back in it. Slowly, Robbie's framing is something on this postcast that can it can't be exceptional or it can be very difficult.
I'm a fidgeter. It's true. I like this race. I prefer this race. It's more my kind of heat. I was having a good look at the style of the week. It's actually quite a bit hotter than I thought it might be. A lot of the big players have stood their ground. If I know producer Sam and presenter Sam, he's going to be all over Kai's Chorister. But I'm going to give a chance to Real Dream. I don't think this horse has quite yet fulfilled his potential. He was not on it at all when well fancied at York in the Grand Cup Stakes when last seen. But, I mean, the fact he's been off for 77 days and gone from wind surgery suggests he's not been quite right. Basically, every time after he's had a break, he's run a big career best. And he's only had 10 career starts. So if he does that again, that puts him bang there. I mean, obviously, Sir Michael Stout is superb with this kind of slow burning staying horse. Just look at his pedigree as well. The Dam was an Italian Group 1 winner at 5. I think this horse is going to have some longevity, and I can't imagine Stout's going to run him unless he's properly spot on. So I think he could make that next step up to this sort of level, and he looks quite a decent each way bet with 3 places.
Okay, Real Dream for Robbie Wilders. Tom Park, to you, final selection on the show. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, I agree with Robbie. I have not given up on Real Dream either. He looked really progressive last season, and you take the stinker that he ran last time out of the equation, and you would think he's bang there to win a race like this. His run before, as Robbie said, like every time he runs first time out, seems to run well, and like his run first time out this season was actually a career best. So it's not like he's, although he hasn't won this season, it's not like he's been, he was running badly. And then last time, something's clearly gone wrong. They've acted, which I always like to see when a horse kind of puts in a proper stinker. They've given him a wind up. And if he is back to his usual self, he is very talented. Interestingly, when I used to edit the Weekender, I used to make a note of Stout's workhorses, etc., and the Newmarket Gallops report. And this fellow was always working with the likes of Desert Crown and some of the other of Stout's best. And when he wasn't working with them, he was always being marked as like impressive in his work. So I think he's a real workhorse on the gallops. And maybe the wind up will just allow him to kind of find that potential that they obviously think he has at home. So yeah, I'm going for Real Dream.
Okay, Real Dream then. That's two votes for Real Dream. And this week's hat-trick horse is, I can say now, it's not going to be Real Dream, is it, Ed Nicholson?
No, it's not. I'll tell you what, I'll be interested in what the chaps think of Absurd's run. Because I look back at it, and it looked to me, it looked classic to me as if it was a horse that needed the run. But he didn't, the horses that kind of came back and beat him, he should have beaten, shouldn't he?
Will he need this run? That's my worry with Absurd. I think if like they all run form, he's definitely the one to beat. Like,
yeah, it's weird he's running there, isn't it? It's unusual he's running there. That was my inclination, that it probably was a little another stepping stone for maybe the RS and Ledger. Because not loads of prize money. Mullins normally doesn't.
Is he in the Melbourne Cup?
I don't know, actually.
He ran quite well in the Melbourne Cup last year. I know Ballman and stuff, but I don't know if it's a win in your in, and obviously won the Ebor last time, whether he's actually qualified to run, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I just feel like he'd be aimed at a bigger pot if he was properly right, but I mean, we'll soon find out, won't we?
Yeah, I looked at the form and then I looked at the race, and they didn't correspond. This race and the fact that he ran in the Irish St. Ledger, they did say that they were going to go for the Irish St. Ledger, I think, but they've come here for this race. It's 33 grand to the winner. It's definitely a winnable race, but a horse that's won the county, and he has improved since last year, because if you look at his hurdling form, obviously he won the county hurdle, and he should have done better than when his debut. That was my worry. It wasn't so much that he finished so far behind Grosvenor Square. It's just the way that the other horses, who were rated ridiculously low, one of them 78 or something, came back and overtook him in the home straight, which suggested to me he either needed the run, or he might even need the run again. But why would you come over to the UK with a horse like that when you can do it in Ireland? So I'm going to put Absurd up because he is the best horse in the race. And he's not favourite, and that could be a negative, I suppose. But Willie Mullins coming over to the UK is an angle that has proved positive and beneficial for many a punter this year. But normally they're favourite. So I'm going to take a little bit of a chance and go with the Sir. He's only 3-1, so it's not a massive chance. But he should be there or thereabouts. And that's why I asked the question. The worry is he going to need the run again? But why would you come over to the UK if you needed a run? I don't really know.
There we go. Okay, Absurd then. Could be one. Willie Mullins there in the Chester Stakes. Fred Nixon. Robbie said he thinks I'm going to be with Kai's Chorister. But I'm no trainer, but I just think this horse needs soft ground. And I don't think this horse is going to get it this weekend. But I do like the horse, and I do think this horse has a lot of talent. So not on Saturday, but maybe another day, Robbie. That's it for the ITV selections. Coming up shortly after this, we have Any Other Bets and then our best bets for the weekend.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Post, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Tom Park and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. Now seeing if there are any other bets for the weekend. And speaking to the gents off air, there is just the one, and it comes from Tom Park. Where's that from, Tom?
Yeah, 5 o'clock at Chester on Saturdays, 6 furlong handicap. I like the chance of Wen Moon, who's been sliding down the handicap despite running quite well. He was hampered here when fifth to Copenhagen in June, and then was a real eye-catcher 2 starts later when third in a York handicap. And I'm a big fan of these handicaps at York in terms of form. They're usually always strong. He then definitely should have won his next start when third at Pontefract, got no run whatsoever, finished like a train. And then he was 13th at York last week. That ground was far too quick for him, and he was from an impossible draw in hindsight. So he didn't really have a chance. The bonus of that is he's been dropped another £2. So while he should have been running winning races off 84 at York and then at Pontefract, he won none. He's now running off 82, and I think he's got a right chance off that kind of mark. And he's got a decent draw in store four as well. There's no prices yet for the race. I'm not sure what price he'll go off. But yeah, when Moon, my only concern would be if it was to get really quick, I suspect they'll take him out. They have done before when the ground gets really quick. They didn't at York, but I think it'll be all right, the ground. And yeah, I think he's got a really good chance when Moon in the 5 o'clock at Chester.
Yeah, when Moon, 5 o'clock at Chester, Franny Norton taking the ride there on Saturday. So that's it for any other selections. Just a quick one from Ed, just reiterate all the offers that we've got this weekend.
Yeah, we've got 8 races on ITV and we've got an offer on each and every one of them. Price boosts on a few. We've got super boosts. We've got money back second or third on the first race on ITV. And then we've also got that new offer, which is the industry best price from 9 a.m. on Saturday in one particular race. So do check the website. There's plenty of offers around this weekend. It's a difficult weekend for punting, I think, but there's plenty of offers and promotions from Unibet to help you out.
Absolutely. Do head to unibet.co.uk for all of the information and terms and conditions there. Right, time for the best bets for the weekend, gents. Who are going to be the best bets on the ITV card? I'll kick things off as ever in the 240 at Chester. Percy's Lad, Richard Kingscote on board here for the Kooblers. Course and distance winner, one back at Chester during the May meeting over this 7.5 furlong trip. Drawn one. I just think the return to quick ground is going to see his horse right back to his best. And I think 5-1 is a very, very fair price. Robbie Wilder, your best bet this weekend will be?
Cheers, mate. I'm going to go for Real Dream, 3:15 at Chester.
Okay, Real Dream there in the Chester Stakes just mentioned, but Real Dream for Robbie Wilders. Tom Park, your best bet, please?
Yeah, Comanche Falls in the 2:05 at Beverly.
Okay, yeah, the Beverly Bullet, Comanche Falls for Tom Park. And Ed Nicholson finishes off, please.
Yeah, in the Atalanta Stakes, 2:25 at Sandown, where we are super boosting, so you can get the best price on each of the horses. I'm going to go for Tamfana, who's taken a drop in grade, drop in distance as well, but I think she should outclass these.
Okay, there we go. On screen, you can now see our naps, our best bets for the weekend. These will be boosted by Unibet at the time of this podcast and video uploads. Do, like I say, head to unibet.co.uk to see those there. Right, that's the end of the show. A fairly long show this week, but quickly going to find out what everyone's up to this weekend. I've actually, in the background, been watching some of the Paralympics that's just started. I've actually had, it's just switched to the table tennis, which has been great. But I've been watching wheelchair rugby all morning. Robbie, you were a big fan of the Olympics and have missed it for the last few
just
weeks.
A bit,
but
yeah.
We'll have a bit of track and field coming our way from the Paralympics soon.
Absolutely, yeah. Look forward to that, mate. Obviously, Chelsea on telly on Sunday against Palace. All eyes on transfer deadline day tomorrow as well. Got a lot of players we need to ship out in the next sort of 36 hours. So going to be attached to that.
There we go. Yeah, Robbie Wilder's live for transfer deadline day. Tom Park, your plans this weekend?
I'll be in there with the millions of people on Saturday morning attempting to get Oasis tickets. That'll either make or break my weekend, depending on whether I'm successful or not. And then, yeah, I'll be watching the best team in the world, Sunderland, in the afternoon. So, yeah, they're going to hammer Portsmouth. So that's going to be good. And we're going to win. I think we're probably going to win the league without conceding a goal and probably win the Champions League in a couple of years. So that's
your best player. Lost your best player, ain't you?
It doesn't matter, Robbie. Like, we absolutely dismantled Burnley 1-0 last week. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that man at the top should have something to say about Portsmouth being slagged off there.
Yeah, no, that doesn't matter. I'll just let the footballers do the talking, Robbie. and Ed Nicholson, what are your plans this weekend?
Well, I very much hope Tom on Monday isn't looking back in anger in case he doesn't get any of those tickets. I'm trying as well, to be fair. More my era than yours, Tom, I would have thought. I remember the first ever album. I remember listening to their first ever album on the train to Chester May meeting.
And, yeah.
I remember that more than I remember the races, to be honest. It was great.
I went to see them last time. They were horrendous. I was kind of 18 when they played at Sunderland, and that was 3 weeks before they broke up and they were shambolic, massively upstaged by Kasabian. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. They were on a redemption mission.
Well, hopefully. I'm sure they should be okay. I'll be at Lords on Saturday to watch the Saturday second test between England and Sri Lanka, if it's still going, because they do tend to finish early these days, but that would only be the third day, so it should be okay.
Okay, there we go. Look, plenty on this weekend for all of our panellists. As always, big thanks to all of them, Robbie Wilders, Tom Park and Ed Nicholson. Do remember to like, comment, share and subscribe. And there is plenty of racing this weekend, so do gamble responsibly. I'm not back next week. I'm actually on a bit of holiday. I'm going to be away in a forest at Centre Parks, enjoying myself with no signal, probably not being able to see any racing, which is probably a good thing for someone like myself to have a week off. But I'll be away. David Jennings, I believe, will be taking the seat next week alongside, I think, Matt Gardner's on the show. Ed, you'll be back, and I can't remember who else is on the show, but there'll be a good panel next week for next weekend's preview. That'll join you Thursday at 7 p.m. But as always, big thanks for watching, and we'll see you again very soon.